But today's methods may be a little bit different. But the message is the same. God's word is alive. It's relevant. It's necessary for people today if they will know God and receive God's salvation. Is it dangerous? Well, maybe sometimes it is. It's All Saints Day in the Church of England. And for us, a chance to think about what keeps us going, the people of God. It's our reading of the Bible. And our title is Knowing and Making Known. And I'm so grateful for the Gideons being with us today, particularly encouraging us how we share the Bible with others, how we make it known to others. But why would we say this is important? Why do people need to have the Word of God in their hands and to be able to read it for themselves? Why do we have the Bible on our sideboards and by our bedsides, on the bedside tables at home? Why do pastors encourage us to read our Bibles daily, memorize Scripture, meditate on its content? I want to start by asking, take away my Bible, and what have you done to me? What we've been seeing in Genesis is that God created all that there is, and God rules over all that he has created, and he does this by his word. Let's remind ourselves of that. In the beginning, God created, and God said. He creates all that there is by his word. Then God created man and woman in his image and blessed them. Then God said. He rules everything that there is by his word, by his instructions. He brings humans into relationship with himself. And he sent Jesus, the word of God, to create the people of God. A fundamental principle of our universe that we live in is that over and above us, and over and above all that we can see, is a God who has communicated with us. More than anything else in all of our experience, this is the thing that changes everything about how we think about the world around us and how we relate to it. We believe God has spoken. I've got a couple of pictures which are going to help us, and I have to ask Terry to press buttons because I didn't bring my clicker with me. So here we have a picture of Genesis 1 and 2, if you like. It's a bit crude. But we've got man and woman in the garden. God walking with his people in the garden, in relationship with each other, in relationship with God, and in relationship over the earth. We've been saying it's not a situation we have ever experienced quite like this. Because when Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, we have the next one, they were separated from God. So I've got man inside a box there, and God is outside the box. If they were to know God in the future, it would be because God would choose to make himself known to them. He's got to come back into their frame of reference and make himself known. And next picture. The only way that we can know God is that God makes himself known. He does that supremely through his son, Jesus Christ, who stepped into our world so we can know God. And he returned to God, of course, after his death on the cross. Now, we were not there when Jesus walked on the earth. So the only way that we can know about him is through the record that God has provided for us, which, of course, is the Bible. Only if the message of this book reaches us can we come into a relationship with God. So take away my Bible and you leave me in the dark, without any answers to the questions of why am I here? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What happens when I die? Is there a God above? Without the Bible, we'd blunder our way through life without God. We'd be unaware of the eternal judgment that is to come. So the Bible is that important that we need to get it ourselves and know it, to be on the receiving end of it, and to bring it to others as well. I wonder if you would turn with me to our passage this morning, which is 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing this to a pastor called Timothy. And when a lot of people who call themselves Christians were turning away from the message of the Bible, Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Many are turning away from Scripture, away from what has been revealed. But he says, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it. We will have that final slide, I think, there, and just have a quick look at that. That's Timothy, perhaps, at the end of the line there. And Paul is saying, continue in what you have learned by reading the Scriptures, which, of course, in his day was the Old Testament. And he can look back to Christ. And the apostles, of course, carry the message of Christ in the Bible. So perhaps that's us there at the end of that picture. Continue in what you have learned of God from all the ways in which he's revealed himself to us in the past. And Paul gives us three things about the Bible which I want to share with you this morning, and they're all from the passage. If we could just have a blank screen, that would be great. And we're looking particularly at verses 15 and 16 and 17. Firstly, we need the Bible as it points us to salvation in Jesus. Look at verse 15. "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." We need the Bible as it points us to salvation in Jesus Christ. The number one thing that God is doing through the Bible is to get us to trust in Jesus for our salvation, and then to keep us trusting in him. There's a sheep. You can look up now. It's not in the Bible. There's a sheep that has fallen over a cliff edge, and the farmer hears it bleating away, and he goes to recover it. But as he looks down, the sheep panics and starts to scramble away, which is only going to cause him to fall. So the farmer has to leave it. He goes away. Comes back next day. Same thing. He sees the sheep there. Sheep sees him, panics. And the farmer can't do anything. He has to go. He comes back. And the third day, the sheep is calm. The panic is gone. The sheep is resigned to its situation, and it's ready to be rescued. The farmer then he sails down and abseils down, and he hauls it up to safety. Well, the number one purpose of the Bible is to do for us what time did for that sheep. Verse 15, it makes us wise for salvation. It tells us that we need a saviour, and the saviour is Jesus, because saving ourselves is out of the question. That's why the Bible talks so much about our need, the reality of sin and judgment, why it talks so thoroughly about the grace of God in Jesus. Let me read you a verse from Romans chapter 10. Verses 13 to 17. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." The number one thing that God is doing through the Bible is pointing us to Jesus and his cross and saying, it's done. The work of rescue has been achieved in him. Trust him for forgiveness. So the most important thing to know about the Bible is not that it's a rule book, but that it's a rescue book. The basic message of the Bible isn't, do this and you'll be right with God, but it's done. Trust Christ and you'll be right with God. It's all about Jesus. And that's the wisdom that the Bible brings us as we read it, which is why, of course, I encourage you to read it. If anyone's looking into Christianity, the place to look into is the Bible. And since the Bible's all about Jesus, the best place to start, if you've got a friend who's looking to start finding out about Christianity, is actually to start with the end of the story, to start with the Gospels, where you can see Jesus most clearly. Or if Bible reading has never been a regular activity for yourself and your private life, or if Bible reading's become a chore, it's a great place to restart reading the Bible, one of the four Gospels. If we've got bogged down or perhaps given up in reading the Bible, which we all do at times, is it partly because we've made it a rule book and forgotten it's a rescue book? The first point in these verses is it's all about Jesus. So the first question to ask when reading the Bible is, what does this tell me about Jesus, about my Saviour, about how he wants me to trust in him? So when we read or hear the Bible, let's look for Jesus. Let's ask not first what we can do for our Saviour, but what our Saviour can do for us. And in response, trust him and pray to him and ask him for the forgiveness and the strength to carry on that we need. Firstly, we need the Bible as it points us to salvation in Jesus. Secondly, from verse 16, we need the Bible as it's God's words to us today. Verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God-breathed, which reminds us of creation. It describes how the Bible came into being. We use the expression, don't we? Don't breathe a word of this to anyone. Your breath is what carries your words from you to others. And the picture here is that God breathed his words out through human writers of the Bible so that they carried onto the page exactly what he wanted them to write. So that this book, and only this book, can we say that the words of men are also 100% the words of God. Imagine this afternoon, in the middle of your afternoon snooze after a lovely lunch. And you're woken up rather rudely, or maybe not rudely, but you find standing there in front of you is the risen Lord Jesus in your room. And he says, I want to speak to you. What would your attitude be? How carefully do you reckon you'd listen to what he said? How much weight do you think you'd give to the things that he says? Well, Paul says all scripture is God-breathed. He's saying that the words of the Bible are God's words to us today. Every bit as much as Jesus speaking to us in person this afternoon, would God choose to do that? Whatever attitude we'd want to have in that imaginary encounter is exactly the attitude we should bring whenever we open up the Bible. For a start, we'll want to listen to it. So we'll need to plan when and how to put that into practice in our lives, to have ourselves on the receiving end of the Bible. At least, of course, we can do that here on Sundays. But a next step would be to join a home group and read the Bible regularly in small group with other people. Having it in the diary and reading the Bible with other people is a great way to open up the content of it for ourselves. But of course, another step would be reading the Bible on our own, which is a habit I'd encourage any Christian to get into. I've used various Bible reading notes from time to time, some work for a while, and then I move on to something else. It's a great thing to see what resources you can get hold of to help you with reading the Bible personally. We'll want to be listening. And since Paul says it's all God-breathed, that is all of God's words, it's all God's words, we'll want to listen to all of it. We're spending some time at the moment in the Old Testament, in Genesis, but through the year we try to speak from all parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament. And if we choose some good Bible reading notes, they'll help us to do the same. They'll take us through the whole of Scripture. And at the moment I'm using something called For the Love of God by Don Carson. A page of notes on various Bible passages. Not sure if I'm going to get to the end of it, but it's good for now. It's working well for me. So find something that's going to help you to read through the whole of the Bible. That's encouraging me to read through the Bible in 2 years. And maybe you've never read the Bible all the way through. I'd really encourage that. It's something as a late teenager, I decided, how come I'm nearly 20, I've never read the Bible all the way through? And so I just got on with it, and it was great to do that. Just read it fast is my encouragement, because it's so easy to get bogged down in bits and pieces that you don't really understand. But read it as fast as you can, and then read it again. And bits will tie up with each other. You'll see the whole story come out. Well, none of these are meant to be a burden, but to encourage us to take reading the Bible seriously, to take the next step, really, in enabling us to hear God's word. Because we'll want to be listening to it, and we'll want to change in response, which is what the rest of verse 16 is saying. Well, Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So verse 15 told us the number one thing that God is aiming to do through the Bible is to get us to trust in Jesus for salvation, to keep trusting in him. But the number two thing he's aiming to do is to change us through our reading of Scripture. Verse 16 says God is out to teach and rebuke, that is to change our minds. Teaching is God putting his truth into my mind, and rebuking is God showing me where what's already in my mind is wrong or untrue. And then he's aiming for correcting and training in righteousness. That is, to change our lives. Correcting is God showing us how we're living wrong. And training in righteousness is showing us how to live right in his eyes. So you'll notice that two of those were negative, rebuking and correcting, which means the Bible, to some extent, is an uncomfortable book to read. It's one of the reasons why we find it hard to read it. God is always using it to show us what needs to change. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror first thing in the morning. It's like looking at your passport photo. It tells the truth, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. But because God loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us as we are. So the other two are positive, aren't they? To teach and to train. Godliness and effectiveness doesn't just fall into our laps. So let's bear with the surgery he's doing in our lives through the Bible. Sometimes there's an instinct in Christian circles to find a place that's more comfortable for us. Occasionally people say they're looking for a church where they're going to be more comfortable with the teaching. Now, our preaching here may not be perfect by any means, but we'll always find that when the Bible is being taught, that it's the content will always be uncomfortable. And trying to avoid that is trying to avoid God. So stick with hearing God's word. So sum up so far, it's all about Jesus. We need the Bible. It points us to salvation in Jesus. Through the Bible, God is trying to teach us to trust him, independence on him for salvation. And it's all God's word. We need the Bible as God's word to us today. Through the Bible, God is trying to change our minds and change our lives. One thing that I find helpful is to keep some kind of journal, a prayer journal, when you're meeting with God. Jot down things that you're learning as you're reading the Bible, or jot down things to pray for. It just helps to keep routines. And perhaps if you keep something like that, it'd be good to ask those two questions based on those two ideas. So what am I learning about Jesus and my salvation from this passage? And what is this passage saying to me about the areas in my life where I need to change or to think afresh? Jot those things down. It could be a great encouragement. And the worst thing to do, I find, when having sat down to read the Bible is just to feel it's a big yawn, because I've got nothing from it personally for me today. So those tools can help us to get something personally from the Scripture. Well, thirdly, and more briefly, we need the Bible because the Bible is all that we need. Look at verse 17. I'll start from 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, Paul there says man of God, and he is talking particularly about Timothy, the pastor, in this case. And he's basically saying, with the whole Bible, with all of God's word in his hands, the pastor has everything he needs for the work of leading people to Christ and building them up as disciples. So he's saying that to the pastor. You don't need anything else. So make sure you don't forget your Bible. It's what you need to get right with God. It's what you need to live right for God. And if it's true of the pastor, then it's true of all of us. But I wonder if we really believe that. A lot of people don't seem to find their questions answered in the Bible. Of course, there's all the stuff that tell us what's right and wrong, and that's easier. I like the look of Roger's car. Should I steal it? Well, the Bible seems to be quite clear on this. It says, no, it's wrong to steal, and it's wrong to covet, so I shouldn't do either. But there are all kinds of other questions, aren't there, that we have. Should I do this course, or should I take that job? Should I join this church? Should I say yes to this area of ministry? And the Bible doesn't decide those things for us. There's a silence. Well, the Bible doesn't make decisions for us. He wants us to decide. So how do we decide? Well, the issue is working out what is best. And the Bible really is all we need for working out what is best. It decides for us the first kind of questions that matter. And it gives us all the principles we need to have wisdom to help us to decide on all the other types of questions. Which may leave you wondering, if the Bible is all we need, why do we have to sit through all these long sermons and home groups and Bible reading nights and books? We've got books downstairs on sale to give away over coffee. But if you want to make a donation, you can put something in the pot. Why do we need all these things if the Bible is all we need? Well, I trust that none of us are too proud to receive help in reading and understanding and applying the Bible to our lives. This very verse, verse 17, makes it quite clear that God intended there to be teaching in the church and in small groups and in one-to-one. He speaks to the pastor that he might be equipped for every good work through the word, that he might help others to be equipped for every good work through the word. We need our fellow Christians to help us to discover the parts of the Bible we haven't yet discovered, and to understand the parts that we haven't yet understood, and to put into practice in our lives the parts that we've avoided. Is the Bible dangerous? Well, it is alive if we let God speak to us through it. We need his words, and we read them on paper. So what has the apostle taught us about the Bible? It keeps pointing us to Jesus. It's God's word to us today. It's what we need. So let's keep working at getting to know it and trust it and getting it into the hands of others. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word written. We thank you that it contains all that we need to grow in godliness and to trust in Jesus, our Saviour. Please help us, if we're finding it hard to read, to find ways in which to hear you afresh through your word. And please help us to hold out the word of life to others. In Jesus' name, amen.